everyone, and welcome to Prusa Live 51. Super happy to have you guys here today. As always, I've got Joseph Prusa and Mick LaSousa. We don't have a guest this week because we've got a lot to go through with everything that's been going on around here. So let's not cut to the chase and hurry up and get into it all. So what are your picks of the week there, Mickey?
Mine? Well, I have it right here. It's the Mini 13, if you remember Lucky 13, the amazing figure model from Printables, which got like hundreds of remixes and makes.
Yeah.
It, by the way, fits perfectly into this buggy from 3D sets, which is really fun. And yeah, it's from Sousaphone. He's doing lovely work with this, and we are actually in contact with him, and I think we could cooperate with this, make some contest maybe around. Yeah. It's really modular.
Accessories would be a great flash contest, yeah, for sure.
Otherwise, really just, you know, if you don't print something practical, then there are like the aesthetic things which are not so cool. But this, I think, is actually, even though it's not practical, I think it's really, really cool because you can position it and give the figure accessories and everything. It's just really
neat. Awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah. A buddy of mine way back in the day did this mod bot thing that was a 3D printed robot that was very similar and did really well and ended up getting him a job working with Autodesk on Tinkercad. So yeah.
Joe, what do you have? I wonder what you've prepared.
Well, I have to admit I didn't have much time last week to do a special print for the show. But I think my print of the week are the printed parts on this beautiful Mark IV.
That counts.
Yes.
I think that totally counts.
That is definitely a fancy machine you've got sitting in front of you, and we will be talking a lot about that here in a few minutes. So
Matt, what do you have?
So I have the cross-legged gargoyle from my buddy Dom, aka Geek Toy Box. So this was a polycam scan that he did, which I think is pretty cool. How with photogrammetry, which is, you know, just a normal camera, how much detail this little guy, you know, got that, you know, just sat in a little cement statue that sat in his garden. And, you know, now you can have one of your own. And I think the gentleman's gray, it really kind of looks like cement also. So a little shiny, but, you know, pretty cool.
Polycam is an awesome app. If there is a chance, I would like to do something together.
Yes. Yeah.
I am using them to scan a lot of things.
And they opens up the scanning to not so tech savvy people, which we tried with some of the tutorials, but I think this lowers the level even like few steps slower because you just take your phone and that's that.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right. So let's get into some of the news. Contests. We have Make It Fly that ends tomorrow. So if you're still working on your plane, your glider, your, you know, crazy, you know, ornithopter, something, get it done and get it in by tomorrow at midnight, midnight check time. So GMT plus one, I think, something like that.
Oh, the time zones. As I was scheduling myself the calls with some of the people in community about Mark IV, I was like, oh my god, my brain hurt so much when we were almost ready to lunch midnight. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah. At least we are now synced with daylight saving time. We are in the same as
we're back time. We're back up together those two weeks that were an hour off from each other.
So
that's ending. We are going to launch the next large contest on Saturday right away. It is ready to go, and we are for many reasons we are shipping it right away. So stay tuned for that, and always, keep an eye on Flash Contest. We've got a Flash Contest launching tonight. So Fantastic.
Yes.
All right. What do we have for XL news?
So, XLs are shipping.
Yeah.
And we do have even some multicolor you have on the floor.
Oh, you mean this one?
Yeah.
It's been so funny. Like, for the longest time that we've been doing this show, all it's been is XL questions, XL questions, XL questions. And now it's like, oh, it's shipping. And, you know, there's other things to talk about.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
Yeah, but I wonder why so few people post about it. Probably because they don't want to deal with some very nasty people.
Yeah.
But so far, people I'm in contact with, they are very happy.
Our testing is... Yeah.
Yeah, that Fisher King looks absolutely gorgeous.
Our testing is starting to pump like these huge 5-color prints that look absolutely stunning. So I think as soon as it's ready, we will ship. I don't think we've shipped yet, right? The beta units for the multicolored XL.
They have not. They have not yet shipped.
So I think that's getting ready.
Yeah, I think, you know, as we speak.
Yeah, so then once that's done and it goes through the testing and we incorporate the feedback, the multi-tool will be ready. So we will keep you updated on that. But I think that's pretty much it for the XL.
Yes.
Super excited. All right.
Shall we start with...
Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Yeah, let's talk about that Mark IV.
All right. I am wondering how we will do it because the release article is 37,000 letters.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, like a small book. How can we fit it into a small stream? But, you know.
I made a breakdown of a couple things to talk about, and we can maybe start there. And then, you know, kind of go through. I mean, I think the most important thing to discuss about this is it's shipping right now. There are people that have it on the way.
Yes.
Most people are used to, you know, oh, we put up a sale and then, there's a little wait, you know, obviously the Excel, things like that. But this is shipping right now today. So, which is fantastic.
That was unexpected for a lot of people, but
and I think we had like 100 Mark IVs leave today.
Yes.
But one thing to maybe bring up was the shipping estimates, which got wonky for a little while. Yes. So that was
We are sorry about that, but our ERP, it is very difficult to predict this. And it got all wonky, and you know,
but
the same estimates which were in the shop were used by customer support, but we rectified it.
So the good news is that it's the.
I'm sorry.
You're gonna sneeze.
Yeah,
go for it. The long estimates are wrong, so that's the good news, right? If it said that it will ship in 3 days. We are gonna ship it in roughly 3 days, not in June. So the June day that was a mistake.
Yeah, and the production should ramp up quite quickly to 100 units a day.
Yeah,
so that should be going out quickly.
That's another thing. Yeah, that the production is really ready for this, and we have the parts. So that's really good.
I mean.
We sure do have a lot of parts.
We do. people don't realize that it's for us to start the product, we cannot just have the parts for one batch. We need to be sure that we can continue manufacturing.
Yeah.
And right now, we have plenty.
Okay.
Which is fantastic.
If we could highlight like one feature of the Mark IV, Joe, what would be your pick?
My absolute love is the new homing with load cell, which is very unassuming. You cannot see it from anywhere. It is integrated into the how should we call it for the stream, aluminium
carriage.
yeah,
extruder body.
Yeah, like heatsink, print head, everything is sort of combined, but yeah.
And why is it so amazing? Because we are probing against the print surface with anything induction or so you are probing against the metal sheet. So that is why we had needed to have different different profiles for different types of sheet. And even on the PEI sticker ones, the tolerances of the glue thickness and the sheet thickness, you know, even 10 microns could throw you off. But here you are always probing against the surface and with the tip of the nozzle, so you don't have to recalibrate anything if you switch the nozzle or if you are using a nozzle which is, you know, tiny bit longer, shorter, everything just works.
So a scenario where you had I don't know, PLA loaded and some nozzle and the smooth sheet, and you switch to a bigger nozzle, you reload to PET G, and you would like to use the texture sheet. You don't rotate the wheel to set anything. You just do it, and you start the print, and you start it edge to edge, and you get these nice, like, full build volume first layers, which are just nice everywhere, and you can just do it again and again and again, and it will just be nice. Every time, which is
and on top of this is that kind of out of the box experience too, right?
Yes.
Like, because new users, even for as much as like the auto calibration and everything else was for the Mark III, new users finding that correct, you know, squish on that first layer, you know, was still a skill that they had to learn. And now it comes out of the box. You turn it on. It runs itself. Checks. It calibrates. We know in software what those offsets should be, and it just does it. And it's such a better out of the box experience for new users.
I'm seeing a lot of really good questions which are exactly related to that, which I think would be good to tackle right away. One of them is like you're probing with a hot nozzle, right? Yes. And normally you would think hot nozzle touching the print surface bad. But really, if you look at the video, or if we can show it more distance, or once you get it, it's really like this gentle, quick tap. The load cell is incredibly sensitive, so the heat doesn't have enough time to transfer, and also the nozzle stops before it like presses against the surface, if that makes sense. So even if you use the smooth PI sheet, which would be the most prone to like scratches or something, you can have the nozzle super hot and do the homing with the hot nozzle, and you will not see any damage to the sheet. And another thing I saw was the, like, what if you have some filament leaking out of the nozzle? Like, will it not be inaccurate or something?
So we heat it to, I think, 170 to probe, which is found by testing that with a special move, it doesn't matter.
It's like cleans itself, right? At the beginning.
Exactly, and if it's not sure, it does more taps. But also, we are probing just where you need it. We are not probing the whole bat.
It's really quick, and when you see it do it, you see it go like tap, 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 and then it hits one spot, and it's like tap, and it moves just like a half of a millimeter, and it taps again, and then again. And it will do it like just once or twice or three times until it's happy with the readings. So if there was a little bit of plastic leaking out, it will clean it, and then, you know, the reading gets consistent and it's happy and it moves on.
It kind of understands, like, if you were to wear like a winter glove and poke something, you feel that squishiness. It can sense the squishiness of the oozed plastic and knows to retest.
And that's just, I think, the big beginning. Okay, the load cell gives us data the whole time, right? So maybe we can do something more with it in the future.
We can do a lot, because it is not binary. It is not true false. We have full analog readout of that. So we can sense more forces in the extruder body, and you know, with time we might be able to see if the extruder is still extruding. You know, detect clogs and other stuff. But yeah. we are also using the same load cell for on the XL to
right.
do the tool offset calibration.
What happens to the filament when it's cleaned from the nozzle? So it doesn't stay on the bed or anything. It just gets pushed to the side. So by the time the probe finishes the probing, there might be some like stuck filament to the nozzle, but then it does the purge line, actually not in front as you're used to the Mark III, but it will do it just in front of the print, so in a different place every time. But it does this like overflow, like really over pushing the filament, so it anything that's stuck to the nozzle, it like sticks to this filament, so then you will have this big like short but fake purge line. And that's where all the extra plastic, the cleaning, where it happens.
Yeah, we do it this way because we don't want to be able to do it in the front. We would have to probe it there too.
Yeah,
as we used to.
Because we don't. If we probe for a benchy, we just probe in the middle, so we don't know precisely how high this is. So we just purge right in front of the benchy.
Yeah. Guys, I'm sorry for constantly like sniffling, but there's something in this room which triggers an allergy in me.
Because and in it's my definitely office, not I'm Mickey. Fine.
No. And I love it, but I also think we should in the future make it an optional because we don't have to use any skirts to, you know, sort of visually check if the first layer is perfect. Most of the time, you know, I did only reason for me to touch the bed was to remove remove the purge line. And I think it would be nice to have it out. So
it's a funny side.
We will work on.
I completely forgot about it. It's a funny side effect of the perfect first layer that there is no skirt. Because we don't do the outline anymore, so you can see if it sticks, because it sticks, so.
Yeah, and the skirts is like the most annoying debris around the printer, right?
Mm-hmm. Except for cats. They love the skirts.
Yeah, I think they must spread it all around the house by static.
Yeah. And that makes it easier to print edge to edge too now, right? You know, the lock of the skirt means that you don't have to worry about any of that.
Yeah.
That extra space for the skirt.
Yeah.
That's right.
Awesome. All right, let's chat about the heat bed plate.
Okay. So the heat bed itself stays the same. One of the things when you upgrade through one of the many options that you can keep.
Can we?
Yeah, but the mounting is different, a bit different. So it allows for thermal expansion a bit better. So the screws are, you know, they don't go through a constrained hole, but there are these metal boxes which. Let the screw go in the direction where the heat bed is expanding. So, you know, we have the really precise load cell reading, but of course it helps if the heat bed is like as perfectly level as possible, just hardware wise.
Yeah, but also as when you start probing right away and the heat bed heats up through the plate and everything. During the first few minutes, if it was too constrained, it started to bow, and basically the shape of the bed changed
after the probing. Yeah.
So this was also key to have the perfect first layer every time.
Otherwise, the sheets are the same. They are compatible, interchangeable. You know, there's Mark IV written on it, but nothing stopping you from slapping it on a Mark III and. using it anyway, honestly. So the free command sheets, smooth satin textured, now actually so much more joy to use, because you don't have to switch the first layer calibration, so you can always pick your favorite one, the best one for the filament you're using, and then you have the kind of little exotic one, the nylon sheet for polyamides, which is really for nylons for polyamides. So that one is a little bit, I think about it as like a little bit separate thing.
Yeah.
Let's chat real quick about the new plate, the new back plate.
Oh yeah, that's actually, okay, let me just turn the printer off.
What do you mean? Oh, there's?
The frame.
Oh, the frame, yes.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so there has been lots of questions of, you know, the upgrade paths and things like that, and why is there the 3.5, 3.9, things like that, and the plate has some to do with it, too. And so there's...
Yeah, actually, if you upgrade, you do keep your current frame, because it works just fine, and it would be yet another thing you would have to pay for, and that you would have to replace, but... this one, if you're buying new Mark IV, this one is a little bit different. I don't know if you want to dive into maybe why we did it.
We obviously wanted to make the printer more stable with the current constraints, not to be too far from the design. But during the component shortage, we also we were investigating other ways to manufacture. And this also allows us to use more alloys and not be stuck, by the supply of flat aluminum sheets we were milling from.
I saw some people thinking it's plastic once they've seen the first images of the frame, but yeah, it is very much aluminum cast.
In injection molded aluminum, which I didn't even realize was possible until
it's cool, right?
It is basically the same. People know it from Tesla casting the
car frames.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So basically that. Yeah. And I guess once you're casting it, you might as well. You can get more complex than milling it from a piece of metal, of aluminum, so there are some...
Yeah, it's hard to see because of the black and the colors and things, but yeah, there's a honeycomb texture now in the back of the plate, which is pretty rad.
And there are some functional...
Yeah, you can see it a little bit.
There are some functional reasons for it, and it gets a bit thicker in some spots.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
But yeah, it's a, we could do it, so we improved it, but the Mark III frame is still pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it works just fine. This is just a little bit stiffer, so it'll be a little bit better in that regard.
I see you have opened the electronic box on this one.
Yeah.
So we can show
see the motherboard,
The electronics.
Yeah.
This is now actually metal, by the way. This box used to be printed one, but...
Yeah, but... the all new X-Buddy. This one is actually manufactured in-house in our new SMT factory. I was teasing about some quality control some time ago.
So the PCB line is just so incredibly cool. Like,
yeah,
it feels like a sci-fi rocket ship when you visit it.
Yeah, but it is surreal for me because we build it and finished it just when the chip shortage started. So we
had the line, but not the components.
Yeah, we were using it for a year, basically just for prototyping.
Yeah.
But first product we manufactured there, I think, was the electronics for the enclosure, then Excel, and now this.
Yeah, it's great that we have this in-house, so... Yet another thing we have really control over the quality, like Joe showed the X-ray scanning the chip, and we have image processing, just looking if the parts are all in the correct place, And also, if the developers just want to work on it, rather than changing the layout and waiting weeks to get it, they can just have it the next day. Even if the PCB line guys will be a little bit cranky that, another prototype we have to manufacture in small batch. But yeah, they can have it really, really quickly, which is amazing.
Yes.
At some point when there's enough space, hopefully there'll be a production line and a prototype line so that, you know, they're not interfering with each other. So, you know, on top, obviously with it being the X Buddy board, it's a 32-bit board. But what other features are on the board?
So the more processing power lets, like, opens the doors to so many things, including input shaping, which I guess we will get to in a bit. Mm-hmm. It can run this nice screen, which will show you thumbnails of the files, so you don't have to read a long file name, and it's just a bit more pleasant to use.
And it's a full color screen now.
Yes.
We should have brought Michael.
He would nerd out so hard about the board, right?
Yeah. There is so many little details. We can measure amperage and voltage on multiple components.
You talked about before when we talked about the safety, like how hardcore Michael went when designing this, and you know the team. On like, you know, the Mark III is already known for how reliable and safe it is, but this is like even pushing it to another level.
Yeah. For example, we have the heaters behind dual MOSFET, so if one gets stuck, you can turn it off anyway. And oh my god, there's so many things.
Like there's hardware protections like overcurrent, and we measure the current actually flowing through the branches. So imagine like the rare chance that the firmware freezes, so the firmware checks stop working. There's still like many layers of the board will not keep, you know, pushing heat into the heater because the overcurrent will cut it. And yeah, there's just these really nice things to have there and know that you're safe running the printer.
Yeah, little detail, it has USB-C.
Which is nice to see. Yeah, nice thing to mention is since we're now measuring both voltage and current through the branches, what we can do with that. Even though I don't think that's like implemented right now, but to do.
It's on the to-do list. You can use it again for safety, basically as a second thermistor. As we introduce the thermal model, now we can just by reading these two, we can get the temperature plus minus 40 degrees Celsius, something like that, and that is good enough. That is good enough for the safety features.
Yeah. Estimating the temperature without actually any thermistor reading, I think that's so cool. So if you, and there are, not to mention that there's like a extra thermistor in the heat break, so you'll know if it's heat creeping and if the main thermistor is not working. But also just, you know, if you see from the voltage that the temperature should be different than what you're measuring, that you know that something is wrong and the thermal model can cut the power. So just cool little things. There are probably about 100 million other cool things, like the fact that all these cables now don't go all the way to the main board, but that there is a nice little breakout board on the next extruder.
Yeah, I don't know how much you can see on the stream, but yeah, you can do everything. My fat fingers.
Yeah, if you have to change out your heater cartridge or your thermistor, you're not rerunning all your cables. It's just a real simple short run.
Yeah. So I guess we are naturally going to the next extruder now? Would make sense to me?
Yes. Yes. Should we get the cover down? Do you have a screwdriver?
Oh, you want to remove the planetary drive gear? I can look at the nice pictures on the product page. Yeah. It takes a while to undo it.
And
can you pull the picture up there?
Sure.
You could if I turned on screen sharing, couldn't you?
Yeah, that would help, certainly.
And also you can check the release video where one of the coolest shots is done by Mikolas. And I was like, hey, this is whole CGI. And he's like, no.
I love when the shots gets you like, wait, what just happens? And you have to rewind and look at it again.
The release video was great. You did an amazing job, Nikki.
Thank you. So here, here's the picture of the planetary drive gear. It's nice. It's 10-to-1 gear ratio. It's quite precise. And also, this is pushing the huge drive gear, which has just such large contact area with the filament. So, for example, for flexibles, you can imagine that this is just so great. Like, big drive gear with, I don't know, 6 teeth engaged with the filament, and then pushing into extremely constrained space, and then going into metal tube, precision metal tube, and it never leaves the metal tube until it goes out of the nozzle. So the filament has really nowhere else to go than where you push it to be. So that's really nice. And yeah, so you have the breakout board. So anything you replace or anything you do on the print head, you can just unplug and plug it, and you don't have to undo the whole cabling to the main board. And also when you're replacing the nozzles, one option you can do it sort of the V6 style, actually unscrewing the nozzles. We have a couple of them here where you can see hopefully at least a little bit, the metal tube. So you can do it this way, but also you can just use this hinged fan. There are two thumb screws, you undo those, and if you unplug the connectors, the whole hot end just slides out. So you can have two or three of those, so changing the nozzle becomes like even faster, like really, really easy.
Hey, Repcore mentioned that we should put the blog URL into the video description so people can check stuff before they ask. But we know that estimated reading time of the article is 26 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure if people would be able to finish it before the stream ends.
Yeah, that's true.
But in the blog article there are high-res pictures of everything, so you can check that out.
Yeah. I'm looking just briefly at the chat if there's something for the... Oh yeah, so weight and everything. So not only is it lighter, but more importantly, it's, you know, if you imagine the Mark III extruder, the motor is sticking quite a bit forward, which makes like a bit of a leverage on the print head. So here it's a pancake motor. It's like really small. I think I may even, okay, never mind. It's somewhere in here, but yeah, it's really thin. And it's, so the whole weight of the print head is so much closer to the actual axis where it moves.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think you can see anything.
So this thing that's making it look bigger is the fan on a hinge, which really weighs very little, and everything that's heavy is directly on above the x-axis itself.
Yeah.
So that's really nice. Hinge door.
There is also nice detail on the heater. We made sure that the cables go out, not to the side.
Yeah.
So when you are cleaning it, which happens, there's much lower chance of you breaking it. And I think I should say silicon socks are on the way too.
Yes, and I guess something that's probably a natural question. I've seen the Revo mentioned a couple of times. Yeah, so the thing that's nice about our system is that it's still fully compatible with the like V6 style nozzles. By the way, these are actually manufactured by E3D. It's developed by us, but we still work with E3D. We're still good friends. But yeah, these are fully compatible with V6. So if you have some fancy high flow nozzle or very resistant nozzle or whatever you like, you just buy an adapter, which is really simple, and then you can use your standard nozzle, which is a great benefit of this system.
I was fighting for the back compatibility, so
yeah.
It's really quite good. And yeah, because the nozzle itself is tapping the surface, it doesn't matter if the nozzle you're using is like different height or whatever, or even like if you put some different heater block or something, it just, you know, in the end, the nozzle will be touching the surface and the load cell will detect that and measure it. So that's another nice benefit. You don't have to re-level anything after you swap the nozzle.
Totally.
The adapter, yeah, the adapter is, I don't think it's included. Actually, yeah, no, the XL is using the same system. The XL pre-orders are getting it.
Yeah.
It won't be any, it won't be like expensive. It will be really quite affordable.
You have to hot tight the adapter, I see in the chat.
You do?
Yeah, as always, you know, you need to have the surfaces really sealed.
Okay, I totally didn't do that.
Well,
I have some high flow 0.5 or on my Mark IV, and I just did it cold outside, so I might want to check on that.
Well, you know.
Do as I say, not as I do, I guess.
Yeah, you can. You get away with it 100 times and 101st.
Yeah.
You have a blob of death.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the upgrade paths. If you already have a MK3, there are a couple upgrade paths out there for you. What's the difference between the 3.5 and the 3.9?
So, as you said, there are a couple of upgrades. The first is 3.5. It is the electronics and an user interface, which gives you, you know, the possibility to input shape and also the network connectivity, all of that stuff. But it is the cheapest option, and I think makes sense for most people. Especially, you know, for people who like upgraded to E3D Revo, and you know, the extruder stays the same. Then with 3.9, you have the electronics, the user interface, but you also have the new extruder.
So basically, it will look exactly like Mark IV.
Yes, and. What you get more on top of that, if you want to have the full Mark IV upgrade, is the low VFA motors.
I think really the super cost-effective way to get the full Mark IV is the 3.9.
Yeah.
The VFA, the vertical fine artifacts, is we had a box of prints where one of them was from 3.9 and the other one was from 4. And if you look at the prints like this, you will not see a difference. So everyone was looking at them, like, you know, really staring at the print. And then you can see this little difference in the surface, those, you know, vertical artifacts. But if you are not so extreme about, you know, even the tiniest of artifacts, then I think the 3.9 is a really excellent choice. If you want to make your 3 into exactly like, you know, the full thing, then we have the 4. We did it right away because last time when we released the 3, we didn't do the full upgrade from 2 to 3, and we said like, guys, we would be replacing like almost everything, and the community feedback was overwhelming. That's fine by us. Like many people enjoy building the kit, the same people enjoy rebuilding the printer,
yes.
And or you just have space for just one printer, so it's still more cost-effective to just upgrade the one printer. So we took that feedback, and with the Mark IV release, we just straight away did the full upgrade as well. Because we know you guys will want it. So there it is for you.
Okay, yes. There must be cat hiding somewhere in the studio.
See you're dying with
full
allergy.
Full-on allergy reaction.
But I don't know. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned input shaping a little bit. Do we want to talk about the future of input shaping on the Mark III or on the Mark IV?
Sure.
Yes. So we are I would say fine-tuning the firmware. I would love to have test firmware for people, for public, in about a month.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm pretty amazed what can you do on single core ARM, because yeah. the performance is wonderful.
Real quick, most of our viewers probably understand what input shaping is, but for those that don't, why don't we address that real quick?
Do you want to try, Matt? I it is sometimes difficult for me to see to have the look outside the box.
Yeah.
How would you say what input shaping is?
So input shaping is looking at the actual performance of the machine. So there's added sensors to the machine, accelerometers to actually see how it performs, and then makes adjustments to the acceleration and other aspects of how the printer runs, so that it matches to the actual performance of the machine, not just a kind of a hypothetical. I think a good way to discuss this would be, you know, a lot of us might be familiar with like traction control on cars and things like that, where they're actually adjusting how the car is performing based on the actual performance.
The demo I love with input shaper is the tennis ball and a spring. If you've seen it, let me see if Google. Actually, I think I have it.
The real advantage of this is being able to go much faster.
So you can see, obviously, thing on a. You know, yeah. now it's on. So you have this wonderful thing where a springy material is moving rapidly left right, and of course the weight on top is bouncing like crazy. And then when you turn it on, it just suddenly seems like a completely solid thing, even though it's exactly the same. So the printer knows that if it rapidly changes speed, that it will resonate a little bit. So it makes these invisible to the eye counter movements, and as a result it negates the vibrations. Sometimes the funny result is that the printer itself seems to be shaking more, but the actual print is perfect and without any of the artifacts would get.
It's like noise canceling headphones too, right? Like
little bit counterintuitive thing, but actually works out really well. So that's not in the firmware, which is released on GitHub right now, and that's shipping on the Mark IVs. So that firmware is the polished one, stable, standard firmware. And on the side, we have the branch with input shaping, which I've been running. We've been running it in the studio, and it's pretty great. You can go really fast, but I think, as Joe said, it needs some polish and some more testing before we're ready to send it out to the masses.
Yeah, but what I'm very happy about is that basically all of the machines here are running with the same config, and it seems you really don't need on the Mark IVs, you really don't need to use the accelerometer to tune it.
Because they're just so similar to each other.
Yeah, and also the belt length is not that big, or not that long.
Will the bat magnets be useless with the sensor for the Z-axis? They still hold down the sheet, very much useful, I would say. Yes. Someone said if it influences only like high speed prints in. No, it actually makes even slower prints nicer quality, I'd say. There is a little downside with like the rounding of corners.
Should
be fairly minimal.
I don't see it much. Oh god, I'm starting to lose my voice too. There is also complete rewrite. It is not just the input shaping, but also the step pacing. And that makes the printer, you know, seem smoother than without it, because Marlin normally bundles the steps to little bursts, and the stepper drivers are better at interpolating the micro stepping when they have it paced better.
And I guess this would be, those steps also help with another thing, and that's, I think, time to go over another really standout feature, and that is that the Mark IV is still really quiet. Like, oh, yeah. If you know the Mark III, it's annoyingly quiet, where you enter the room and you are like, oh, the print is finished, and then you walk a bit closer to the printer, like, no, it's still printing, I just didn't hear it. So this is kind of the same story. So even when it's printing quite fast, it's totally, like, we have them in our office, and you are just fine. If you have headphones, you don't even know about it. And even if it's there, you can still concentrate on your work, and it's not, like, an annoying sound that,
yes,
that will bother you. So that's, I think, really a big thing for many people. If you have a small kid, if you live in a house with many flats, so your neighbor is not cranky about your 3D printer, I think it's really important standout feature of the Mark IV.
Yeah, you don't have to have soundproofed printer.
Yeah, yeah. And that's like without, you know, putting some washing machine foam under it or something, which like further dampens it and makes it super, super quiet. So that's
really... I saw a question in the comments. One of the questions about the upgrade kits. Will the new Z rods be included in any of the upgrades? The larger Z rods.
Definitely in the full upgrade.
I would assume in the full and 3.9. In the 3.5, you're not changing much in terms of the kinematics. So, but please take this grain of salt and read the description on the product page, and it will be more informed than the two of us from the top of our head.
Yes, I think you can see on both of us that it's been very tough week, and our brains are shutting down.
We're too excited, and it's been a long day.
But you know, I'm so excited that we managed to surprise everyone so much.
Yeah, it's been great.
And we're so close to April Fools that everyone was terrified that you were already trolling people. So you know, this is not a joke. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, but I would say this year we will have the best April Fools in the industry.
Yeah, I'm looking forward for that.
Fantastic.
I tell you, it is real. Remember this for April Fools.
So Mickey, you and I had kind of talked about it a little bit before the call or before the show started, but it comes back to the question about the magnets in the bed. With the new probing, the skew adjust is no longer a thing. But you know, one of the things that as you were saying that we've already seen is that already in the Mark III, it wasn't really necessary anymore. Correct?
Yeah, with our quality control of the profile cut, we know that it is. It doesn't have any benefit on the machines we make.
It was like a heritage from the Mark II, where you had the threaded rods, and you would really, you really enjoyed seeing the like that you are 1 degree off or something. But already on the Mark III, you would just build it together without paying any attention to it, and then you would do the skew measurement on it, and it would be like 0.01 degree off. So yeah, it's really not needed, especially with like this kind of frame.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Mark IV on 1st April. No.
Yeah, what about the open source license? That's actually a great topic, and I think you put it down really nicely in your article about the state of the open source. So I think it would be.
I think this is better than to trying to rush through it in a couple of minutes. We are trying to open a discussion about, you know, how what is the state of open source, and how are people using the licenses. And I think it's the article is very well written, so take a look at it and think about it, and we would like to get back to it maybe in next stream or stream after that, or anytime when there's an opportunity.
We will be reading all the feedback that you have on that, because that's what the article kicks out, the discussion. So if you have any thoughts on that after you read it, it would really be appreciated if you leave that feedback anywhere. You know how to reach us. We are pretty active on social media, or just a comment under the article or a Reddit or anything. That works just fine.
Totally.
The printed parts will be on printables soon. The firmware is already on GitHub, I believe. It's actually quite nice that it's the same code base for all our printers. So the XL, the Mark IV, the Mini, it's the same code for the most part, and then there, it branches out where the printers are different.
Yeah, it is the same code base even with Mini, but I don't think we can do input shaping on that processor yet. We might be in the future if we optimize more, but it will not be in the near future.
Yeah.
So real quick, we haven't talked MMU3, which was also announced.
Yeah, it's on the edge of the frame right there. I think it kind of deserves its own thing, which we will get back to it. But yeah, the MMU3 is out there. It's based on many of the community feedback on the MMU2 and even the community mods. So our improvements, the community improvements, all packed in there.
And will that still be compatible with the Mark III?
Yes, it is compatible with both. The hardware upgrades are most of it is printable, but we have also new filament buffers.
Oh yeah. Mm.
And the big improvement is with firmware, which now allows like full communication between the boards. You are not deciphering the LEDs.
Oh, is the firmware rewrite for the MMU2 no longer happening? Actually, quite the opposite. That was the big part of this is rewrite. So on both the Mark III and the Mark IV, you will get like a nice message on the screen. The MMU telling you what's the status, what's happening, rather than LED lights blinking at you.
It is much more user-friendly.
Will there be an upgrade path from the MMU2 to the MMU3 for people who want to take advantage of that?
Yes, and it will, like Joe said, will be a lot of things that you can just print. Just print the printed parts and then some. You will need some hardware, but most of it will stay.
But the firmware, you can use the firmware even without upgrading the hardware.
Yes.
If something didn't change recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wasn't sure if the board changed and if the board change was needed for the new firmware updates.
Yeah, but so. We will take a week to prepare the full release for it, because fitting everything into that master huge Mark IV release article.
Totally.
I kind of doubt that most of the people have read through the whole thing. But even though we tried to cut it as short as possible, doesn't seem like there is something too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are starting to run out of time. So why don't we cut to the Prusalive Show Us Your Prints?
We can do that, absolutely, sure. So
obviously, if you guys have any more questions about all of this, be sure to to ping us on social media. Tune in next month. There'll definitely be more questions answered there. leave questions on the blog article. We'll get your questions answered.
Okay, so let me screen share actually. In our third place, we have Ozzy the Artist with this, it's a peephole cover for the door, which I think is really quite cute. I know Ozzy is quite a passionate 3D free printing enthusiast, so nice job.
I love it.
Very cute.
Very cute.
And totally doable with just color swaps. You don't have to have, yeah.
So that's our third place. Our second place goes to, I don't know if I'm going to say Nicole. Okay.
Nicole,
with a really nice demo of the organic supports, working on a shape which would be really difficult to print.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
This is such a great organic support demo because, you know, you could just imagine how much of a nightmare that would be encrusted in regular supports, right?
I wouldn't even try, you know, a year ago.
Right. Right.
And moving on to our first place, and that's by Bitting Mitch. And it's a practical thing, so giving a shout out to a practical model, but yeah, it's the end result, I would say, is really clean. A holder adapter for a drone controller, which I guess allows for using off a better, a bigger phone, so you have a bigger screen.
I think that maybe this drone was released back in the time where phones weren't so stupidly big.
Yeah. So congrats on opening the first place.
Yeah, fantastic. So we will work on getting you filament for those entries. We'll be in touch. And thank you all for entering. Okay, so we've got just a couple minutes left, and one last bit of news to bring up. This is my last Prusa Live. I have decided to move on in my career and have taken a position as community manager for Lightburn. So I'm going to be playing with pew pew lasers instead of 3D printers. It has been amazing working with such a fantastic community. Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. You'll still see me at all the Rep Rap Fest. I'll see a bunch of you in Colorado for Rocky Mountain Rep Rap Fest in just a couple weeks. And I will definitely be around. But yeah, I'm going to go have some fun in Laserland. It's been fantastic putting together Prusa Live for the past few years and, you know, getting to chat with all of you guys here. I look forward to seeing how Joe and Mickey continue the show, you know, in future months. So thank you all. It's been great.
Thank you, Matt. You will be missed. And, you know, thank you for everything.
Yeah. Congrats on the new job, and wish you all the best. I'm sure we'll see each other.
Yes. We'll see each other in Colorado. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So with that, that is our show for this month. So again, thank you all. Stay safe. Keep printing. So long for me. These guys will see you next month.
Happy printing.
Bye, everyone.